And we're back. Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 22 of the Moto 247 show. It's been a long time since our last episode. I think our last episode was in mid-April, so the Supercross season was still going on. We had a few Supercross races since then, and we're, I think, five rounds into the outdoor season now. So, like I said, a lot has happened in the motocross world, and we have a lot to cover today, and we have a new co-host joining me today. It's Tom Woodford, so really pumped to have him on board, and it should be a good one.
Yeah, so a lot has happened last episode, I guess. Back in mid-April, Supercross-wise, and like you said, with McAdoo going down and the over-under, that was not only the start of McAdoo's horrible luck he had in Atlanta.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, McAdoo, that crash that he had out there was absolutely horrendous, man. I couldn't believe that they let him keep going, but he got back up, and like you guys were saying on that last episode, you know, it takes a lot of heart to for a rider to do that, and it honestly won him a lot of fans as well. So, and he definitely carried that in, but looks like he sat out for the motocross season. Yeah.
Hey, well, after that weird crash at Paula, and I don't know if anyone got a video of it. Him going down by the mechanics area there. I don't know what exactly happened. I wish I had a video to see, but you know, he hurt his. He's been out ever since. But yeah, it's crazy how it went though. Like after the first round, like what you're saying, how everyone was rooting him on after going down and coming back. Then I think what he got like third or something. He was on the podium, third or whatever. Anyways. He had that. That was in qualifying. I think the next round, in Atlanta as well, went down in that triple, and everyone was just saying he was just clearly not put out to be out there. It was unsafe for all the other riders, and everything with that. Then yeah, it just seemed like that was the start of all the craziness and just all the sketchy stuff he had. Was it that the triple? And then there's like one more thing I could have sworn Supercross.
It with Garrett Marchbanks there.
Oh yeah, Marchbanks.
Just blindsided him before the whoop section there. That was pretty controversial for sure.
Yeah, I feel like Marchbanks just took so much crap for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was almost as if Marchbanks, you know, good guy. I mean, everybody, as far as I knew, loved Marchbanks, and you know, he's a young up and comer, and seems like Marchbanks lost some fans, and McAdoo gained some fans that night, in my opinion. But kind of reminds me a little bit of I don't recall which race it was, but where Ferrandis, who did he take out? Back in Supercross over the finish line jump, he ended up blindsiding that one guy, and Ferrandis lost quite a few fans.
Oh, Christian Craig,
that's right. Yeah, when he took out Craig, it was kind of like that all over again a little bit for me.
Oh yeah, that was horrible.
But now look at Ferrandis, you know.
Yeah, and I was thinking earlier, I'm like, no one really predicted Ferrandis to do like as well as he's doing right now. Like obviously the Supercross was not too good for him. Like he had like what, one podium maybe? Like I know he was up there for one, but it wasn't that good, like around the top 10. But the outdoors have been, you know, completely flipped, which if you watched him over the years of him being over here in the States, as long as he has been, like the last three or 4 or 5 years, it's been a while. But even him in the GPs, like he's shown that he has the speed to be up front, but I don't think anyone predicted him to be doing as well as he has been. And yeah, it's been crazy. And the finish up the Supercross season that we're talking about, it's like with Rocks, and I feel like he's in the same situation as he is now with Webb leading, and he was just right behind Webb in that title. And it's like he was so close to, you know, being up there. And, like, he was obviously in the fight for the championship, but, like, he was just too far out of reach where Webb just had his number. And, like, with him and Ferrandis in the outdoor season. And then Webb is not doing good. So
yeah, I'm a huge Ken Roczen fan, actually. And we went to Utah for the final round So of course, you know, I was rooting for Kenny to get the win that night, but unfortunately, man, I mean, he was just so far behind, and Cooper had it dialed, and there was just no catching up, unfortunately. But yeah, I always feel like Ken Roczen keeps putting himself in those positions, man, where he's so close, and you want him to get it because he's, you know, he's the comeback kid, right? Oh, those two bad arm injuries, and the guy just keeps getting up and keeps coming back, and still relatively young, in great shape, has one of the hardest workout regimens in the series, you know. So I've always had high hopes for him, and you know, I'm thinking maybe he could get it this year, but in the motocross season. But Frandis, man, he looks fast. So.
Yeah, well, Frandis won the first 4 out of 5 rounds,
Yep.
which is crazy. And he's not only has he won those, but he looked really good. And
Oh.
he got a good start and had good luck where Tomac was buried. And that's another
That's a whole nother subject,
Tomac.
right?
We'll wait for that, but that's a whole other thing that's buzzing around the industry right now. But with Ferrandis, like I went to Redbud and he got a bad start in one of the motos, and he just came through and like there's 4 or 5 guys, you know, all the top guys that like, he just went through like no problem. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, all those guys we've been looking. Sorry about that. All the guys we've been looking up to for so long, right? All those top leaders, and he's just going by and blowing their doors off.
Yeah, I'm like, no offense, not that I dislike Ferrandis, but I'm like, come on. I wanted like Tomac and
Right.
definitely Roczen to be up there, and especially like with all of Roczen's injuries, it's like it's so close right now.
Yeah.
Cool story, and you're saying how young he is still, and I was thinking that not too long ago. I'm like, he has to be getting up there in age, but I'm thinking back, I remember going to Redbud back, I think it wasn't 2014 in his rookie season in the 450 class, and I think I'm not 100%, but I think he was only 19 years old, and he was running right up there, and I think he won the overall that day too. So it's just crazy how young he was when he was, because he was dominating then, not like he was some young kid that was, you know, shown flashes of speed, but he wasn't up there. But I mean, it's like,
Right.
no, up there and he's battling for championships, and he got one long after that.
Yeah, he was born in 94. He's 27 years old. So, you know, all things relative. I mean, you know, motocross is not an old guy's sport, but you know, 27 is getting up there for motocross. However, you know, I think he's still got a few good years left in him anyways, as far as the sport's concerned, you know.
Yeah, I hope so. That's what he's
Yeah.
27. I know Ricky retired young. Same with Villopoto. I'm like, I hope he doesn't, because like I know he's so close and he hasn't really done too much. Like he's to be up there running with the best guys in the world is you know remarkable. Like for his all of his injuries he's dealt with over the last few years. But you know, if you get a Supercross title or an outdoor title or something. You know, he's only 19 points down right now, but he has to do something to beat Dylan because Dylan's on fire right now.
Certainly. Speaking of Dylan, you know, it's just, you know, one of my theories after I've been watching, you know, for quite a few years and whatnot, but it always seems like, you know, that first time that these guys get out there, especially Dylan in the position that he's in, you know, being new, this is his first year 450s outdoor motocross, right? And he goes out there, and once he got that taste of victory, it's, you know, that feeling of, oh my gosh, I can actually do this, you know. And once they get that taste of victory, it's like, okay, I can actually do this, and they do, and they, you know, they keep on going, and they get that flow. I mean, you could say that about quite a few riders in the past and whatnot, but I mean, he's taking it to another level.
Yeah, I'm surprised listening to him talk in the podium and everything, where he's like, just saying how he doesn't expect to be up there, and he's like, he can't believe it. And just knowing like his riding style and everything, I'd love to be like talking like, yeah, I know I had the speed to be up there and beat all these guys or whatever, and be a little cocky or whatever. But I'm talking, he's like, he's surprised himself that he's
Yeah.
up there, and I just like honestly respect him a lot more after hearing that from him. Because like
Absolutely.
I haven't been, not like I dislike him, like I said earlier, but
Sure.
it's just I'm rooting for him. But now, just you know, have a lot of respect for the dude. The dude's gnarly.
Yeah, I mean, Ken Roczen kind of said the same exact thing, you know, before the season started. His big he was talking about how You know, he didn't know where he was going to line up but this season, and just wanted to kind of go out there that first race and just see where things lined up. And then he gets out there and, you know, he leads the majority of the moto, and Dylan got the first moto, but he was second place and pushing Ferrandis pretty hard there. So, you know, it's the first race is always that though, you know, no matter what, just kind of figuring out where the chips lie.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone is given. Well, it seems like no matter what you do, good or bad, they're gonna talk crap about you if
Oh,
you're at
sure.
that top level. But how Roczen was saying all the stuff he did before the outdoor season, how he wasn't like, I think the team was saying how he's like a couple sec, at least a couple seconds off the other dudes out there, and he comes out doing really good, and you know they're giving him crap because of that pretty much, and
Right.
they came out dominating. How he said that on purpose, and like. From what I hear, it's like, no, he actually was off quite a bit, and somehow he got it pulled around. Now
Yeah.
he's, you know, he's leading, and now, like, he's, like, I feel like Dylan has his number right now, but he's still in the title fight. He's only 19 points down, and we're, what are we, like, almost halfway? What, 10
Almost
players?
half, yeah.
So 10 out of 24. So there's still a long way ways to go, and, you know, a lot can happen.
Yeah, I think the name of the game, you know, in the end, what wins championships is one word, consistency, right? Which is, you know, Eli Tomac, right? We want to talk about consistency. When he is more consistent, well, I mean, what, last year even, you know, taking those outside lines, blowing by people, and he'd just get that late moto drive. And he was just consistent. Where you look at Roczen last year, and consistency was where he kind of faltered, right? Because he would go out, he would ride the wheels off the bike in the beginning of the moto. He'd be up front or close to the front, anyways. And then you'd get halfway through the moto and he'd just tail off, right? And he'd get passed by four or five guys. So, you know, people thought, you know, Roczen was on his way out. And then he comes back this year, and now he's riding more consistent motos where he's getting up front, he's keeping the speed, he's keeping the pace. Unfortunately, he's not at Dylan Ferrandis's pace, though, right? He's kind of on another level right now. So yeah, I think consistency is really, really important, especially when it comes to championships. I mean, you know, Ken Roczen can you know falter a little bit in the beginning, but if he's consistent and stays up front, if anything happens and Ferrandis, you know, has any issues either physically or what have you, right? Then he at least has the positions to where if he can win a few towards the end, he takes the championship. So, you know, it's all about playing the game smart.
Yeah, that's proven with Dungey over the years. Like, Dungey wasn't the fastest at times. I've seen guys that had the upper hand on speed, but he was always right there. He was like, he wasn't too far off in his bad days as well. Where Tomac, like, just in general, in his whole career, how he's been so, like, not hot and cold, but he gets these horrible starts when he dominates. And normally, he comes through the pack and gets a decent finish, but it might be like a fourth or a fifth, or still like right on the outside of the throw off that consistent, you know, results. But this year, it's like, what the heck's going on with him? The first few rounds, he did absolutely horrible. Thunder Valley, everyone's like, he's gonna turn around. That's his home track. He knows it well. He what was it like 2015, 2016, where he was on Geico. His rookie season, I think it was,
Yep.
completely dominated, like over a minute lead when he got hurt that year. And he went to Thunder Valley and he got smoked. And there's guys dropping him, not like he got a bad start and just couldn't work his way up for the pack because how stacked it is. It's kind of the fact that like he got a bad start, and plus guys are passing him and dropping him, which is, I just found like crazy.
Yeah, you almost have to ask yourself like what changed, you know? What you know, how does Eli Tomac go from being the guy railing those outside lines, flying by everybody, you know, and that late moto speed, and you know, that we come into this year and it's like, you know, we're getting ninth and ninth place in the first moto, eighth place in the second, and people are passing them, you know. So it's like you almost you ask yourself like what happened, right? The only thing I could come up with is that he just had his daughter last year, right? During Supercross season. I don't know if he's changing diapers late at night or what's going on, but you know everybody loves Eli Tomac, and you know I'm hoping the best for him. I hope it turns around for him, and he seems to be picking it back up. He's the last two races. What was it? He second motos. He pulled it off and ended up getting first, if I'm not mistaken, in both of the last two motos.
Yeah, Redbud for sure. Redbud and Southwick for sure was the
Right.
that you might have won too, as well in the second moto.
Was it? Okay, that's right.
But yeah, the last two for sure. And yeah, I'm still like I'm glad I'm not playing fantasy motos
Right.
right now because I would be scratching like Omac to be up. I don't know he can't. He's been up there. It's like I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just
Yeah.
completely speech topic because, like I said, everyone was okay. He's they like everyone wrote him off, it seemed like, and he came out and what was it, High Point? I think he won the moto. That was
Yeah.
his first season. So yeah, where he looked like he didn't look too good, and then the second moto, he just came out like blazing fast and like his normal self. Really good, and the same with Redbud. But Redbud, Dylan was catching him towards the end. But still, those guys were home in that final moto there.
Absolutely. So I did want to ask you too, Cooper Webb, right? We come from Supercross season on a high, right? You know, first place championship for not the first time, but the second time. And then we come into motocross and it's like whole different field, man. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't get it. And the thing is, him and Marvin are doing
Yep.
not all like I don't want to say they're doing horrible, but like to be around the top five, top 10 of the 450 class is still really good. Knowing those guys, like all those guys haul in the mail, like they're so fast, but still, like Cooper should definitely be up there.
Right.
I think contending for a win, and then same with Marvin. I feel like at least a podium, but. I don't even know what to think with Cooper. Like, is it a bike issue? Because him and Marvin have proven in the past that they're really fast. Cooper won an outdoor race, I believe, or overall, I think, in Millville, I think, if I'm remembering that correctly, a couple years ago in the 450 class. And then the 250s, he, really fast, one of the top guys in the outdoors as well. And then Marvin, like, ever since he moved up into the 450s, he's been right up there battling with Eli. Where this year, like, no one's even talking about him, like, except for people were talking about him back in Atlanta or whatever it was in Supercross when he took off his neck brace. But besides that, like, no one's talking about Marvin and how he's up there battling for the win and is he a, guy to pick for the championship or what. But
Yeah,
I mean,
him coming back off of injury, you know, I think that may play a big part in everything. You know, these guys, this class is, I mean, we say it all, or I've heard it from everybody every year, but the class is stacked. I mean, I don't think I've ever, in my opinion, I've never seen the 450 class so stacked. And people, you know, I think missing out on Supercross, I mean, he can't help it, he was injured, but you know, that was detrimental, I think, to Marvin. And again, that's just my opinion. As far as Cooper Webb goes with, you know, Supercross to motocross, I think that Cooper Webb is a technical genius on the motorcycle. But, you know, with motocross, it's just different. It's more about, you know, raw speed and, you know, the jumping ability and whatnot. And, you know, I mean, I'm no expert. I'm not his trainer, but, you know, if I'm just guessing here, that would be my guess, is that, you know, it's not as technical, it's more about raw speed, and that's something you don't necessarily get on the Supercross track.
yeah, we saw that going back to Atlanta. I feel like I keep on bringing up Atlanta Supercross,
Sure.
everything going on, but that's more of an outdoor style track where we saw Cooper dominating. Like, of course, he had that moment. I'm not sure which round it was in Atlanta, but where Kenny crashed in the whoops and Cooper got him and beat him. But like, still, like he looked off in Atlanta in that outdoor style track. Then we get in the outdoors, and it's kind of funny when he, I see him and and I see rocks in behind him, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. I got to get the popcorn out.
Yeah.
And then Roxon just like passes him and drops him. And Cooper, like, it looks like he's not even putting up a fight, which I'm sure he's given it everything he has. And he's still, like I said, going fast. Like, I don't want to talk crap about him. Saying sure. How slow he's going, because they're still going fast, but it's like, how is he not putting up more of a fight? Or at least, how is he not up there further? Like, even if he's not dominating like he was in Supercross, like how is he not up in the top three at least? And I just find that crazy. And then the same with Marvin, like, yeah, the injury, it does make sense, though.
Yeah.
So, like, I thought he'd be up there and show some more speed, but I guess, you know, we'll give it some time, and hopefully by the end of the outdoors, he'll be up there. And I always love hearing him talk on the podium. He always has stuff to say. He always drags it out.
Well, my buddies and I always, you know, how many and does give me getting an interview?
Yeah. I feel like they keep on wanting to cut it for like.
I guess there's only room for one Frenchman in the top five, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But yeah, I don't think, I think Marvin's a big question mark, but I feel like Cooper's even more, since Cooper's, you know, did really good in Supercross, and he's on a good team. Not like he's on some crappy team with a crappy bike, but yeah, who knows? And, I guess we'll see. But he's, you can't even mention him in the title. Besides Rob, and I feel out, like Tomac, I believe, is over 50. What, he's over 50 points for sure, down at 56 or 57, somewhere around there. So that's over like a whole, you know, a round of Kumotos.
Yeah. You know, I would tell you that if Dylan Ferrandis was not in the picture, that there's still a chance for Eli. You know, just because we've all seen it before with Eli, where, I mean, you said it before, you know, his whole shots were never good. He could start dead last and work his way up to first and have a 8-10 second lead, you know. So coming from the back of the pack, I mean, even in this sense where I'm saying, you know, he's starting out the season slow. If Dylan Ferrandis wasn't in the picture, I would still be leery about Eli Tomac coming back, you know. But, you know, with Dylan and the raw speed that we're seeing, unless something happens to Dylan, I don't think Eli's going to come back to take the title, you know. But I'm not counting him out either. You know, he could surprise us and just start, you know, pulling some wins here and working his way back up. But you're right. I mean, the spread's a little too far now.
Yeah, it's like, I always, you know, want to have hope and see him get up there and not only win, but be in the fight. But it's like, yeah, it's, I think it's too far, especially with, like how you're saying, Dylan's dominating it. He's, yeah, even with the bike smoking, like he,
oh my gosh,
they told him, don't use the clutch, you know, make sure this thing's the finish line. And he still is catching rocks. And like he was, yep, at Southwick there. And,
That was impressive, man. That was really impressive to see. I thought for sure. I mean, what were we? We were into the moto, what, 5-10 minutes, and the bike started smoking pretty bad. And it was like, oh man, like he's not going to make it. You know, I'm sure everybody watching that was saying that. And man, you're absolutely right. He was catching him. It was like, wow, this guy is just on rails. You know,
like, no offense to Dylan, but like, I wanted him. When I said, yeah, I'm like, great, the points are going to be tighter now. And
exactly.
I looked at the clock, and I think it was like 18 minutes to go, plus two laps. And I'm like, he's definitely not going to make it. You know, his bike's not going to hold out that long. And sure enough, he not only makes it, but he was up there. And what did he get, like third, I think?
Yeah.
I was just blown away. And yeah. I gained so much more respect for him.
Right. Absolutely.
There, I feel like over the last couple of weeks, he's proven that he needs, you know, people need to talk about him being up there as one of the top guys.
Absolutely. I mean, you just, you know, how many seconds he's putting between himself and, you know, Ken Roczen, Plessinger, Barsha. I mean, he's putting himself out there and getting way ahead. So it's just like, wow, it's almost like there's no competition here. But, you know, the speeds that he's going, it's like, man, he, you know, needs to keep it on two wheels, because how fast he's going, if he does go down, it's going to hurt, because he's just going that fast all the time, you know?
Yeah, he's hauling. And I guess it's really cool to see that Star got the 450 team, because obviously, whatever Yamaha had going on before this year was not working, and everyone was blaming the bike. But the 250 was like everyone's saying how that bike's the best bike. Which was funny because like that bike's so good. And the 450, man, that bike sucks. And I control the 450 team, and it's like the same thing for the 450 class. Like, I was a Redbud that they had three riders within the top five with Brandis, Plessinger, and Christian Craig up there in fifth, too. And I'm like, this is, you know, they've been killing it.
And right.
If they get Eli next year, it's like, that's going to be crazy. But yeah, their program right now is really good. And yeah, glad to see that they're doing good and as well as and Aaron, besides his bad luck at Moto 2 in Southwick. That sucked because he was.
Yeah, you said that you were at, you went to Redbud, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you see Aaron out there with his mullet out and yelling Redbud?
Yeah.
Guy, man, he is so much fun watching him. He's great.
He has energy on the podium and just everywhere. He's amped up. It's hilarious to watch. And really good for the sport, too, because I feel
like absolutely.
A while, like a few years ago, it was just not boring, but like nothing really out in the sport. Like, we had Dungey and everyone that was going fast on the bike, and it was great racing, but outside the sport, there wasn't no like Jeremy McGrath or Jeff Emig.
Right. A lot of the racers are more introverted, where, yeah. You know, they keep to themselves and they focus and they're, you know, eye on the prize and not really public speakers. And man, that guy's just a ball of energy and so much fun to watch and just listen to. I mean, even when they're asking the questions, you know, to all the riders, he's just the most entertaining to watch. So definitely injects a little fun into the sport, which I think all the fans, you know, really appreciate, including myself.
Yeah, I went to Daytona and to hear him on the podium, you know, do it for Dale.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I was just dying laughing. I was walking out of the stadium and heard that on the TV. I'm like, oh my God, this dude's awesome. And I was just so pumped to see him do, like, he did good in Supercross, but he's on another level for the outdoors, to see him up there and actually leading the motos and being in the podium.
Yeah.
The races so far.
He's such a tall guy and just hanging loose out there, man. His riding style is really fun to watch.
Yeah, he's to see him and Dylan go at it and just, yeah, how different they are, the riding style. Just amazing to me, but yeah.
Absolutely.
Doing good after his, what's it, like first 2 years in the 450 class. Like, that wasn't good at all. To see him actually get back to what he was looking like back in, well, like 2018, 2019, and it's 250 days, whenever, was it 2019, or 2018, or 2017, 2018, like that, but.
Right. Yeah, well, I can always appreciate Aaron Plessinger's, you know, he's just always seems happy. You know, even when his bike quit on him, he was still smiling on the sidelines, just having a good time, man. And, you know, that's just good to see, because, you know, you see a lot of these riders and, you know, how it really affects them if they have something like that happen to them. And I don't know, man, that positive energy is contagious, and we'll see how he does. I really, you know, hope that he does really well and wish him the best, because, you know, just his attitude and inspiration for even, you know, young kids coming up in the sport to always maintain that positivity is huge, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy too, because to see him do so good, and it was rumored forever that he was going to Red Bull KTM and not do good in the outdoors. It's like, wonder if that's, you know, legit or not. If that's going to be a mistake or not, like, I don't think so. Like, going to the Rogers team and that bike,
right,
would be, you know, wouldn't be like a downgrade or anything. But it seems like whatever the star is doing, it's working right now and letting him be himself. You know, they're not holding him back, I don't think. At least, you know, like, seeing him be him, and like the last couple of years, he's been kind of silent. Like, there's interviews where he has his, you know, his the outgoing personality, but you're not hearing him too much. Maybe that's because he wasn't up there, you know, if you're getting 10th or whatever and not happy with your results, or you're just banged up, you're not gonna, you know, be really crazy happy and everything. But to see him now, like, he's just so entertaining, and it's so awesome to see him up there along with the energy he brings. He's one of the few guys right now, like him, Jet Lawrence, heck, even Adam, you know, just bringing that. The entertainment for us, you know, pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of Adam, poor Adam Ciancerulo, man. I mean, the beginning anyways, he's seemed to pull it together a little bit more. I know Southwick, what, Moto 1, he placed fifth, and then I think he did a sixth in Moto 2. But, man, he would, you know, the beginning of the season anyways, Pela and the other couple races there, he'd go down. He'd be right up front, and then, you know, something would happen, front tire would wash out on him. It was just like, oh, this poor guy can't catch a break, you know?
Yeah. Like, I've been in the watching his vlogs. And normally, I don't watch the vlogs. Like, I watched a little bit of Jeff Walker's vlogs over the years. But I've been really into Adams this year. And to see him, like, you know, to see him not do good on Saturday. And then I'm, like, waiting for the vlog. But I'm, like, at the same time, like, oh, this is going to suck. To see him just, you know, so down after, you know, I feel like he's capable of running up there with the guys. And, you know, he's proven that he's capable of winning. He did that at High Point after that sketchy last corner, last lap incident with the lapper there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was wild. But yeah, imagine if Dylan got him there. That was close. But anyway, yeah, just to see him up there. Then Redbud, I went to Redbud, like you said, and to see him go down, and his front fender was tucked under, like, tucked backwards, like, towards the bike. It was like the weirdest thing ever. And I looked, and his clutch lever was like completely down from the bars, and
wow,
did it all. And I watched one of the post race interviews, and he was like, "Yeah, I could barely use my clutch." And just to see him, like, he was battling. I don't think, yeah, he didn't even score a point that moto. Like, he was battling for like 22nd, 23rd, or whatever. And to see him do that, or, you know, seeing him or seeing what he's capable of, at least, is frustrating the one. And I, you know, feel bad for him because he has to be frustrated with himself. He said he has that nerve damage though in his elbows.
Right. Hopefully. Yeah. When did that happen? Do you know when he had that nerve damage? When did that occur? Was that at that finish line? At the finish line jump? I believe that was. Oh, where was that? That was the second, third round. High Point. Was it when he went down at the finish line, he got taken out? Is that where the nerve damage happened, or was it prior to that?
I honestly have no idea. Like, I could have swore I heard something where he got surgery before.
Okay.
It was like a 99% chance that it would be fixed. And he was the only 2% that he still had the issues. So I'm not 100% sure if that's correct, though. Like,
yeah.
Definitely have to look up on that, but better
look it up. But, that poor guy.
Yeah, it's always something. And he's, after coming out, like, really good winning his first Supercross and all that bad luck. Like, he had bad luck for years where he was off the bike, and he was talking about even quitting. It was, like, it was that bad. And to see him do good in the 450 class now, especially. It's like, same with Roxen. Like, obviously, Adam hasn't had the injuries that Roxen's had. No, I don't think no one has in the field right now, but he's another guy I want to see up there. And there's so many guys. You said it's stacked, and I always make jokes about it because every year it's like, it's so stacked. It's never been like this. And each year, like, everyone keeps on saying that. And it's not a lie, though. It keeps on getting more and more stacked. I remember when there was more privateers and, like, the Supercross main event, like, it was like 10th place or even 15th to 22nd was privateers, and now it's, you're lucky or like you're seeing factory guys get like outside the top 15. You're like, what the heck? Good racing is good entertainment for all the fans, but it's crazy, like really crazy to see. It's good, but yeah.
I mean, you look back at all the past years and racing and whatnot. And I mean, even back to Ricky Carmichael days, right? I know the bikes are different now. They're faster, but I mean, just the raw speed that you see now, and how these guys are exiting corners and how they're coming into corners. I mean, it's all faster almost, you know, I have children and my kids, I've always said I wanted to get them into racing motocross. And, you know, it's like I have to kind of step back and ask myself, like, man, is that, you know, these guys are going so fast now that, you know, the potential for injury is just that much greater. So it's a little intimidating being a parent, you know, and thinking about putting my own kids out there and, you know, putting them in harm's way. But I mean, these guys are just going so much faster, and yeah, the deck is stacked, man.
Yeah, I bet. Like, I haven't thought about that. It's like, if I ever had kids, and I'd be like, if they want to, I'm not gonna push them into it. But it's like, if they want to, but yeah, it's just so crazy, just how fast everyone's going, and if they're actually wanting the chase, the dream of making it one day, into the professional ranks. It's like, yeah, that speed they have. It's just, and let's say you do make it and have good luck and don't get hurt much, you're still gonna have gnarly injuries
Oh,
and
yeah.
to get off. So it's like, it's just one of those sports where, like, by the time you retire, you're kind of banged up. Like, you're lucky if you get out clean, where you're physically good and healthy, and not like concussions, haven't dealt with those that much, or just, I guess, any injuries in general,
Right.
yeah, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I got out of racing. Yeah. I personally had, I think I was on concussion number 11 from racing just throughout the years. And I event my mother was a nurse, so she pushed me to get out of it, just because she kept telling me I'd be a vegetable when I'm older if I had more concussions. So that steered me out of it, but now I'm just a devoted fan.
Yeah, it's the same here. Like, I haven't been riding in a couple years now, and it's like, it was common to kind of be banged up and sore from some crash you had. You ring your bell, like, it was normal. Where it's always kind of funny, you'd go to school and, like, after, like, just ringing your bell and just your head hurting so bad, and everyone's like freaking out, where you're like, it was kind of normal. You're like,
Right. This is
this is
normal operating procedure here.
yeah, and they're like, no, like, you should seriously, like, get that checked out, or like, they're taking it really serious, which you should be, because, you know, that's it's really important, as everyone knows. But it's like, it's just too common.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. I mean, once you get that feel, that adrenaline rush, I mean, it's hard to stop, man. It's still one of the best sports out there, in my opinion. So it's the best sport out there, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's the most gnarly sport, I feel like. I guess everyone has their own opinion, but
Sure.
it has to, as a fan to watch, it's great. And if you actually ride, it's no matter if you're, really slow or a top, amateur rider or pro rider or whatever, it's still so much fun and so addicting too. So,
So,
crashes. What about RJ Hampshire? RJ, like, everyone's joking about him. But before Southwick, after the crashes he had earlier in the season, and Red Buddy had a few, or a couple at least. And then he comes to Southwick and he goes down. I think it was like at least three times that I caught that went down. And it's
Yep.
like, come on, like, he's showing so much speed this year, where he can be up there battling with Jet, or it's Justin Cooper up there. But he keeps on
Yeah.
going down. It's crazy.
I yeah. Oh my gosh, did you catch when he almost took out the flagger at the finish line
Oh,
there? Oh
yes.
man, that was close. I was like, oh boy.
I just watched the replay of it. I think Jalik Swole posted something on his story of it, because he's seen it for the first time or whatever. And it's like, that had to scare the crap out of that guy. He came
Oh
so
my
close.
gosh. Yeah.
And he acted like it was nothing, just the way he rode out of that, like, his part of the track, like, it didn't affect him one bit. Like, that dude had just, he's, on the edge with rail and everything.
Oh yeah. I mean, if he could keep it on two wheels, I mean, he's got the speed. He you know, I know everybody's favorite rider right now, or at least the majority, is Jet Lawrence, for reasons. And we'll probably get into talking about the Lawrence brothers, because they're entertaining as well. But I mean, he's what, first race, he's fifth. 10th was second race. Third race, 15th. Fourth was first place, and then the last race, Southwick, was fourth place. So, you know, he's got the speed, but he keeps going down, and you know, he finishes down in the bottom of the pack, even though he had a pretty decent finish in the first moto, or vice versa. But man, it's all about keeping it on two wheels for that boy.
Yeah, like, I didn't really think he'd be up there. Like, everyone knows he has the speed to win, but I didn't think he'd be up there. But he's showing, like, in Red Bud, he went down, and you're like, oh, that sucks. He was riding good and everything. Then, like, 5 minutes later, he's right back there battling for the win again. And or I think it was – who was he behind? He was catching, like, was it Lawrence or
– Yes.
Yeah, where he was right on his wheel. I'm like, oh, my God, this dude is insane.
Absolutely, it's fun to watch, but it's like, oh boy, don't go down, man. Keep it up.
Yeah, like just on like two notches, and you'd be good. Like, you know, turn it down one, and just a little bit, just a hair, because you know, that's. I don't feel like Jet's inconsistent. He's just having some bad luck right now, but like, just be up there in the mix. You know, he's like, I think like riding on the edge right now, which who knows, he may not be, but motocross is sketchy. Like,
yeah, he's just absolutely
so close to putting it together and being in the title fight.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I feel like they should have a RJ Hampshire camera for every round now.
Absolutely, I feel like Jet's actually, you know, when we watched Jet come out for his supercross debut. He was one of those guys where it's like, oh boy, you need to slow down and really think, you know, because you're out there, you're fast, you got it, but you're just, you know, almost reckless, like you're gonna go for it and do whatever it takes to get the win, when really, you know, you need to think long term, think championship, you know. And I mean I don't know who he talked to. His trainers must have embedded that in him, because he's more calculated now and kind of stepped back. And, you know, he's still fast, but you can see that he's not as reckless, if you will. I'm trying not to use that term too loosely, but, you know, he's slowing down and more calculated.
Yeah, just his riding style is so smooth and so awesome to watch. Like, there's a couple guys, like I think him and Sexton, just like watching him, it looks so natural, and it doesn't even look like he's going fast. But then you watch someone that's right around them that he's battling with, and it looks like they're on the edge, falling. Just looks like he's cruising and setting these insanely fast lap times. It's like, holy crap, this kid has really, you know, got it. And last year, like, his riding style was like just on the edge of like when he was at A2 and he crashed. Of that, just the sketchiness he had.
Oh yeah,
this kid could really be something. He's still only 17. Like, I could have swore on the NBC broadcast when at Red Bud, when Levi Kitchen made his pro debut, could have swore that it said he was 20.
Oh yeah, no, he's young.
I thought Levi was younger than that. I thought Levi was like 18 or whatever, because he's still racing Loretta's this year. Thinking of like. That's 3 years younger, two, you know, almost 3 years younger than Levi, and he already has a 1 year under his belt and in the pro ranks, and he's up there, and he has the red plate right now, and he looks like the top dog in the 250 class. Like, he's just so, I guess, advanced, and it's crazy to see, because for a while, like back 10, 15 years ago, everyone was turning pro when they're 16, but now it seems like everyone stays on super long as possible and everything. But now, like, Jet Lawrence at 16 was looking really good, and it was right up there battling for, you know, podium positions, top fives and everything.
Absolutely. No, that he has so much potential. And I mean, you say that and it's like, yeah, he's already doing amazing. But I mean, you're absolutely right. Being so young, he just has that many more years and only to get better, you know. So I truly look forward to the Lawrence years ahead of us. I'm sure we'll be seeing quite a few championships out of him. And you know, his brother Hunter, I mean, they're both very entertaining to watch. Not to jump back and forth from supercross to motocross, but when we were out in Utah, that was awesome when him and his brother, you know, they pulled the 1-2 and lined up next to your right front tire to front tire and did the burnout. It was a lot of fun, man. And just watching those guys on interviews, again, you know, we talked about Aaron Plessinger, how he's injecting the energy into the sport. Well, I think the Lawrence brothers are doing the same thing, and it's exciting. Makes for good entertainment and keeps the fans ready to see more, you know.
Yeah, they're just bringing so much to the sport, and I find it crazy to think that no one knew who Jet was at all. No one knew really that Hunter had a younger brother. Everyone was so pumped when Hunter signed with Geico, and I think it was 2017 he signed with them, and then ended up doing one more year in the GPs on a Honda team over there. So he went from Suzuki, signed with Geico, he had something worked out, had one more year on some Honda team over there. And everyone saw what he was doing, capable of, and everyone was so pumped that Hunter was coming over. And I went to Red Bud for MX Nations, and the CM and Geico was on. Then they come over, and he's had some bad luck since he's been over here for sure. But now, like Jet came out and completely really stole the show. And showed that people should definitely talk about him, and obviously right now everyone is. Everyone and their brothers talking about him.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's kind of cool because it's almost like, you know, you think Hunter paved the way for Jet to come in, but it's not like, you know, it's not like Jet's riding on Hunter's coattails. He came in and made a statement, you know. So it's really good. I mean, Hunter's doing great too. I mean, look at, you know, the last overall results, 1-1 for Hunter. So, you know, they both got the speed. They, you know, they're brothers, they ride together. I think, you know, it's really cool. It's something I've never personally seen in the sport, with two brothers, you know, being on the same team and, you know, doing really well. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah. Like thinking back, I know the Han brothers with, Tommy and Will, but
yeah,
they obviously, like, no offense to them, but Will was up there for sure. Tommy had some good years as well, but Lawrence brothers were, it was really cool. The red bird, he has the red plate right now, and Hunter went 1-1. Like, I don't think we've ever seen that before.
Right.
And, like you said, with being on the same team, under the same team and everything, so awesome.
Yeah.
Cool to see Hunter. I've been rooting for him for years now, and he's my age too. And just, you know, after all the bad luck he's had, really good to see him actually get out there and ride and get a win. It was awesome. And I think it was Arlington for Supercross, and then go 1-1 at Southwick, and kind of get back in the mix there and gain some points on Cooper and his brother.
Couldn't agree more, man. How about Jalik Swole coming out there? what's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. With him, I'm speechless because I don't think no one saw that coming, or very few people, if anyone did. Yeah, it came out at High Point and just looked really good. And obviously, RJ had that issue with breaking his chain. Still, like, Jalik was looking really good. And then I was wondering between the motos, like, is he going to come out again, or is he just be where he was? Because I think I'm pretty sure his best finish before that win was sixth place in a moto.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. You think you'd make the step to maybe top five. Okay, now you're in the podium. Then it's a few steps before getting a win like that. Then he went out there in the second moto and did really good as well. And really crazy to see. Just really pumped for him as well. I know his story is really good. And I think they're doing some, not movie, but some show or whatever on him about his
journey
through the ranks and everything. So that's cool to see. He seems like a really good kid.
Yeah, he's how old is he? He's 21. This was his debut year, wasn't it?
No, I think last year was his rookie year.
It was? Okay.
Yeah, he didn't
do it. I guess I never really I didn't hear about him until this year, but it's kind of exciting to see what he's going to bring to the table. I know that, like I said, man, if I'm, you know, the fact that once people get that taste for victory, I think they start, you know, getting in the mindset. I think, you know, one of the most important things when it comes to motocross and supercross is your mindset. I mean, we see it all the time. And once they realize they have what it takes, it's like, okay, I can do this. And then things start moving in that direction. So I'll be interested to see how he finishes out here throughout the rest of the season.
here. We got to stop here for a commercial break, but we'll be right back with the rest of the episode here. Stay tuned. Okay, let me hear.
If any of you guys enjoy playing Supercross the Game 4, I definitely think you should check out some of these championships out there. They're so fun and competitive. No matter how fast or how slow you are in the game, it seems like you can have a lot of fun and be in some good battles. And I know Supercross the Game has their own thing going on right now with their own esport, where they take the top 12 in qualifying in each console, you know, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. They take the top 12 from Tampa, then they go forward with that. But there's these weekly championship races that, like I said, they're so fun and competitive. Really pumped to be a part of a couple of them. We're sponsoring the Summer SX series, and they're on PS4, a lot of good racing. MTJ over at Summer SX series always puts on really good racing there. It seems like every year they keep on growing, and really pumped to see what they're doing right now. And then also I'm really pumped about sponsoring and being a part of the IOMA Championship. They're on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC, and they have a North American League along with a European League, and they have a few different things. I know they have Arena Cross, and they have the Supercross classes as well, and definitely think you should check those guys out. They're on Instagram if you look up Summer SX Series, and then if you look up IOMA has a couple pages on there as well. Definitely think you should check those out. Even if you're not a hardcore gamer, I think you'll have a lot of fun racing those.
And we're back. So, what do we leave? We left off talking about Jalik doing good there.
Yeah. So, we're just really excited to see what he has to bring to the table for the rest of the season. You know, that taste of victory, man. I believe that propels people to, believe that's what they can do. And they have it, know it in their heart that they can be up front. And it's just fun to watch and see where they stack up after they have that mindset.
Yeah, it's crazy, but like they can have the same exact trainer, same exact bike settings and everything, and you hear them talk about just having that confidence, like just beating someone, or if it's, you know, beating Tomac or like a guy like Justin Cooper or whatever.
Yeah.
The top guy, one of the top guys in their class, just having that confidence, like it's crazy what that confidence can do.
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
And like he's had some bad luck at road. I think he like started in the back of the pack. He wasn't up front, but still like he rode really good. Pretty much in every race, I think, since High Point. Like he had that get off with Jet Lawrence. He didn't go down, but thankfully for Jet, like that could have been way worse.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was pretty rough. Yeah. Jet didn't have very much good luck there last week.
It seems like the last 2 weeks he's been just bad luck.
Yeah.
Having some issues.
Yeah. Justin Cooper. Let's get into him a little bit. So, you know, every year that I've gone out and I go out to a couple motocross races a year and whatnot, and he's always a top contender, always seems to get out front real quick, and I don't know, it always seems like he kind of falters back, kind of like Ken Roczen, right, last year. It always seems to happen to him. I was really hopeful this year for him, but of course we had the introduction of Jet Lawrence into the mix, so it was really exciting. You know, if I was doing fantasy, I'd be thinking Justin Cooper, Jet Lawrence, like that'll be the battle. And it is to a degree, but it always seems like Justin just doesn't have what it takes to clinch that first place position. He did he did in the second race. That's right. He got first place at Thunder Valley, but every other moto, it seems like he has it in the beginning and then, you know, falters back. Or vice versa. So,
yeah, like at Red Bud, he did good, but it was like, I think it was like a 4-1, so it wasn't good enough for the overall.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd be up there more. Like, I've been following him since his last year in amateurs. Like, I didn't even hear about him at all. Like, I followed the amateurs. Everyone my age growing up, and he wasn't in the mix at all. He was always Faulkner and Crown, and Cantrell was there, and Tanner Stack, which no one really knows what Tanner's doing right now. I don't think I totally forgot about him until I said his name right there.
But, sure.
Anyways, he wasn't in the mix at all until I remember watching A class. And I'm like, who's Justin Cooper? Like he was beating everyone. Like he came out of nowhere. then coming into the pros, like he showed his speed was like really good, and he was up there and over the first couple of years looked really good, and yeah, like you said, he's fallen back and he's still riding really great, but
oh yeah,
like I thought in Southwick he'd put up more of a fight and be up battling with Hunter Lawrence, and Hunter did really good and you know caught him and got him and passed him there, but yeah, like he's. Justin Cooper is another one where he's so close. Like, I feel like he's fully capable of winning a Supercross or did win Supercross. I mean, outdoor title.
Sure.
But, yeah, like, he's shown he has the speed, but it's, like, so close where if you put him and Jet Lawrence together with going 1-2 off the start, I feel like Jet's going to, you know, have
his number. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The, you know, Jet's actually, it's funny. You watched him in the beginning. Like I said, Supercross, he was, you know, almost reckless. And now he's calculated even to the point where it's like, I've even watched him where he's behind somebody and he's riding behind him. He's figuring out their lines, seeing what they're doing. And it's almost like he's setting up where he's going to take them and sets it up for the next lap and takes it and then runs off with it. So I'm really impressed with Jet's ability to be calculated. And Justin Cooper, man, I don't have any answers. I know he's fast. When I was actually at Unadilla 2 years ago, I was up in the stands just before the horseshoe there over at Unadilla. And I was with I saw somebody standing there. I started talking to him. Lo and behold, it was Caleb Tennant. And right behind me was apparently Justin Cooper's father. And Caleb Tennant, I kind of overheard after I talked to Caleb for a minute. He was racing that day, number 444 on a KTM. But he turned around and starts talking to Justin Cooper's father, and apparently he had been training with him, and he was like, he's got this, he's gonna win the season or win the series. So you know, I was like, oh, I got to keep my eyes on Justin Cooper, and you know, the guy's good, he's really fast, but just seems like he doesn't keep it together for the full moto, you know, the 30 minutes and two laps. So again, hopeful for the guy, but he just doesn't seem to be able to put it together yet.
Yeah, like I've been rooting for him for so long, and especially now that I've learned more about him, like I said, no one really knew who he was as he was in the amateur ranks, but just to hear from like people within the motocross industry, excuse me, saying that he's just so humble and he's not some cocky kid coming up, and really, you know, really cocky and everything. And it's like, no, he's the complete opposite. And even with all the race wins and he won the Supercross championship and everything, and to see him, you know, still come up and be really humble about it is awesome. Mm-hmm. And for him, it's like, he's just so close. And, you know, who knows, we still have another 14 motos, I think, of the outdoor season still to go. So hopefully you can put something together. I'm not sure how far he's back in the points. I have to look that up.
Yeah.
He's right there anyways.
Where sure.
If Jet slips up again, you know, who knows, he gets there. And he's heading, you know, more on the East Coast now, you know, where like the unit stuff where he grew up.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if I had a crystal ball, I'm going for Jet, but you know, Justin Cooper, it's to me, it's between those two. I think it will come down to that at the end of the season, and we'll just, you know, see who can keep it on two wheels and you know, has more speed towards the end of the season. We know what it's like to have that flip on us too. So you know, we'll see how it goes. Who out of the 250s though, who do you think, you know, that aren't in the top, you know, top 10 maybe, you know, who's the up and comer that's young, that is rather new, that you think might, you know, come up to stardom here soon? Do you have anybody that you're watching that's not necessarily at the top of the ranks, but that you think might be, or?
I know Levi Kitchen.
Yeah. Made
his debut at Red Bud. The one moto, I think it went 9:19.
Yeah,
some issues. I think it was in the second moto he had issues, and he's going to the Loretta, so he's gonna, you know, get ready for that and the race, and then come back for, I think he said, the remaining five rounds. So he's another amateur rider that is looking really good, and that stacked star racing Yamaha team. Can't believe
it.
But yeah, doing really good. Nate Thrasher is doing really good.
Mm-hmm. Nate Thrasher, he was Supercross. He went 1-1 that rainy day, right? What was that?
Atlanta, I think he won.
Atlanta, it was, yeah. Man, that was a hell of a ride. I was like, super impressed. It's like I haven't even heard this guy's name, and he is flying, you know?
Yeah, I was blown away. I'm like wow, good for him. Like I don't know. Like there'd be so many guys that I'd pick before him that went at Supercross.
Certainly.
Him, but like just, you know, he seems like a badass.
Yeah. The one I've got my eye on, man, that I've been watching ever since what was it? Red Bull Straight Rhythm. I watch every event that I can get to. But Red Bull Straight Rhythm, Max Voland. I watched him in Straight Rhythm and found out he was going to debut for his 250 season this year. And I was just like, this kid is so fast. So I've been watching him. And man, when he pulled the whole shot on Moto One there at the Fox Raceway or Pele, he's fast, but man, he seemed to slow right down. He went back. He's down like top 10, but you know, first year coming into it, he's playing it smart, I think, and my eyes are on him because I think he's gonna get the 250 season, you know, in the next couple of years. So.
Yeah, he surprised me at Supercross and in that opening round, and motocross as well. And it's crazy the see how small he is on that bike. He's just everything, but he rides that bike real good. He's not messing around at all.
Yeah, but
another up and coming kid where. He has the speed to be up there, and it's crazy. Like we said earlier, it's so stacked, and like it's harder and harder every year to make predictions on this stuff because there's so many people coming up and less people retiring, or at least at the rate, you know, it's more people coming in than going out.
So right. Yeah, let's see.
Crazy to see it. Predictions. It's like I have no idea, honestly.
Right. Yeah, he's what eight? I think he's 18 years old. So. Yeah, he's another young one. It's going to be good. It's fun because I, you know, when I was younger, we would always watch the races and we would literally wait and would watch just the 250s back then, which are 450s now, obviously. But, you know, we didn't really pay attention to the 125, 250 class, if you will. So nowadays it's like I love watching the 250s ride because they're just, you know, you get to see what's coming, who's coming down the pipeline, and they're just, I think they're a lot more fun to watch now than they ever were back in the day anyways.
Yeah, they're so entertaining. It seems like there's always something going on that's, you know, has you on the edge of your seat when you're watching the Supercross races or the outdoors or whatever it is. It's always something. And there's always something. It's like someone being gnarly, like just really sketchy, I should say.
Yeah.
Someone dominating it or just kind of coming out of nowhere, not nowhere, but for example, Joe Shimoda.
It's, yep.
Yeah, I've been following him since he came over to the U.S. for Geico. And, no one had him doing good this year, or at least up the top five or podium like he got in the last round there.
He's putting it together, man. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Joe Shimoda's got it going on. I think that this year, you know, he's like top 10, top 5, top 10. He's kind of hovering there. But I'd tell you that after, you know, this year, just give him some more experience, give him a little more time, and he's going to be right up there as a top contender, I'd say, probably next year or maybe the year after.
That's crazy to even believe that he was close to not having a ride, or at least a factor, yeah. That is because – there's four riders on the pro circuit team, and then he was kind of a last minute addition to the Mitch's team, and he comes in and he's kind of like the number one guy now, and he almost took over Forkner's spot as Forkner is doing four.
Yeah, what's up with that? What? It's crazy to me because, you know, we were Forkner even last year, or I'm sorry, a couple years ago. I mean, I thought he was going to dominate 250 indoor and outdoor, you know. And yeah, he's not doing so hot this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like he came up and turned pro the same time Sexton did, and he was faster. Like out of them two, it was always them two battling in the A class. And Sexton looked really good, and he always got – like, he was – I think he was off Faulkner's speed for sure growing up. But he was right there and, you know, showing that he was in the mix as well. But Faulkner, he seemed to be in the top guy in that class. And he comes up, and I find it crazy to believe that he doesn't have a title. And I don't know that, but he's still in the 250 class, not having – like, he's had a lot of success in the 250 class for sure, but – nothing like Sexton's had. Sexton's won two championships. He's in the 450 class. He's looking good in the 450 class. Like, he's beating Roxton. He's getting beating Tomac. He's beating a lot of the top guys so far, and he's just looking really good. Where you think those guys came up together, and Faulkner's still in the 250 class struggling, it seems like. And I heard a rumor that he was moving up and had a 450 deal, but who knows if that's going to happen now, because he's like, it seems like he's struggling to get top tens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so who knows what's going on? It seems like between that and Tomac, like what's going on? Because Faulkner's capable of winning for sure. With Cooper and Jett. And then the same thing with Tomac. It's like, yeah, what's going on with those guys? Because I don't think no one knows.
Right. Yeah, there was something they were saying on TV last week with Tomac, you know. Is it because, you know, he's moving over to Yamaha, so he's, you know, just kind of, you know, waiting for that ride to take place and kind of taking a back seat. And it's like, you know, I don't think that is ever any motocross racer's like outlook, you know, at all. I think a motocross racer, no matter what, you know, even though we have teams, we have all that, everybody's in it to win. You know, you're in it to go and to win, and every weekend's a new opportunity. So I just don't think it's ever anybody's, even like Cooper Webb right now. It's like some people are trying to say, is Cooper Webb just kind of like relaxing? He got the win. It's like, no, man, I think these guys are always in go mode and driving forward. I mean, you know, I think that's just something you have to be a racer and to contend with these guys and to be this good, you know?
Yeah, like that's what a lot of people are saying about him going the star. And it's like, still, I don't, especially Tomac's mentality, like, I don't think he'd be like, yeah, I'm okay with getting 10th place. And it's kind of funny because if you're saying, oh, Tomac was off this weekend, you're like, oh, so he got second or third? And you're like,
right. Well,
he's getting. I find it hard to believe, like, just that is an option where he's just taking it easy. And I was laughing because my dad used to be like a huge fan of the sport, and he hasn't followed it really in years that much, like a little bit, but he doesn't really know what's going on, you know, week in the weekend with the results and everything. And he knows how fast Tomac is and how good he is. And I'm like, yeah, Tomac's been off. He's like, oh, was he getting third? I'm like, no, 10th. He's like, he was he's like 10th. I'm like, yeah, like multiple races. Not like he's 10th at High Point Moto One, but yeah, that's
right.
Like, don't, this is like every week then. But now, since we moved over to the East Coast, you know, the second moto, you know, he has it going on then. So who knows what's going on in between in Moto Two, but whatever he has there is working. But if he can just figure out Moto One, but
yeah.
It's crazy.
Peaks and valleys. These guys, it's funny. You think you got it nailed, and it's like, oh, Eli Tomac, he's just, you can't stop the guy. And then, you know, let a year go by and things just change. It's really surprising, honestly, you know?
Yeah, like I've been saying, I haven't been blaming that on the bike necessarily, but ever since MX and Nations, it was their first race on that new Kawi, and back in 2018, I know he's won a Supercross title since then and an outdoor title. It's been. But, like, ever since then, at least I feel like he hasn't had that raw speed like he had before. Like, where he just had that insane pace that he had. And it seemed like ever since that MX the Nations and that new Kawi 450, he's just been off a little bit. Like, he won the title in Supercross, but he still didn't look like he was back in whatever, like 2016, when he was racing with Dungy, like that year he went down in East Rutherford, where he had multiple races where he like blew the opportunity to win the championship. But like, he had the speed that year where, like, ever since then, I'm like, he just looks different, you know, just a tad off of the Eli Tomac that we've been watching over the years. And And who knows what that star program and their bike, like, we all know that Eli is a hard worker and not like he's slacking or anything, but I wonder if it's a bike issue or what, because, you know, I don't know what it could be.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely find out next year when he goes on to the Yamaha team. We'll see if that bike, you know, boosts him to the next level there.
Yeah, it'd kind of be funny if he goes over there and Dylan wins the title this year. Yeah. For one plate.
Right.
But it's just really good racing. But yeah, I'm just blown away by that. Then another rider I was looking at, and a young and up and coming rider that I totally forgot about is Dylan Schwartz. That kid's been killing it, and he's on that Privateer Suzuki team.
Okay.
And, like, he's been inside the top 10 on the Suzuki, which everyone, like, is just giving him so much respect for, because that bike, you know, not as competitive as the other bikes out there.
But, right.
Yeah. He's up there battling with the factory guys, and I think he's only like 18 or 19.
Yeah, he sure is. I'm looking at his positions now. He's, I'll have to keep an eye on him for sure. Yeah, Suzuki, man. Suzuki's not what it used to be.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking about the other day. Like, back 15 years ago, it was like the bike to get, you know.
Yep. So,
hauling Davey Millsaps, Travis was when he was racing.
Certain,
you know,
name Carmichael. Carmichael retired on them, yeah.
Carmichael then, yeah, he raced both the two stroke and the four stroke there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many guys anyways that have like did really good things on a RM, and now they're like almost, well, they are the laughing stock of the sport pretty much.
They are. They haven't signed anybody that, you know, is worth their salt in how many years now?
Yeah, a few Porsche, and that didn't go great at all.
Roxon. Roxon was on with Jimmy Johns, right? He was Jimmy Johns. He was on a Suzuki. Yeah,
that's Soaring Eagle. Jimmy Johns ride a couple years ago. Yeah,
that's he it.
That team won the title. Or that, I know he had an outdoor title. Was it with him?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say what 2016? I think he had the title then. For motocross outdoor, or no, that was Dungy for sure.
Yeah,
I'll have to look that up.
But yeah, since then, not too much. Like, they got Max Ansi this year, but Max has been off. And I heard something today about his girlfriend posting something on social media, like bad mouthing the team about some issue. So I had a look at her page and I didn't see anything. So if she did post something, she must have deleted it, because I didn't see anything. But apparently, issue within the team. So who knows the drama that's going on behind the scenes with that. But yeah, like, it's just, you know, crazy the bikes, how far it's off, at least.
Oh, for sure. Couldn't agree more. So yeah, I'm planning on going to Unadilla. Are you planning on making any outdoor races this season, rest of the season, or not?
I don't know. Like, I want to. I most likely going to Ironman, but I at least want to go to, well, one more for sure, but maybe a couple. I think it would be cool to get out the Unadilla there.
Yeah, absolutely. If you do, let me know. We'll meet up.
Yeah, we have a few good races in Southwick, but I mean, that's already
passed. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be some good racing. But, we got to make our predictions here to end the episode.
That's right.
For okay. The next round is Millville. So what's your top three for both classes?
Oh, boy. Millville. Let's see. So for the 250s, I'm going to put Jet Lawrence for first. I'm going to take Cooper for second. And I'm going to put Hunter in third. So that's my prediction for 250s. Who do you have for 250s?
250s. Yeah, it's hard to go away from Jet Lawrence winning it.
Right now, right?
That's not a safe pick, but I feel like that's, you kind of count on him more than anyone else. But shoot. I have to switch it up. I'll go with him, but I'll put Hunter in second. And I really want to go with Cooper, but I feel like Cooper's going to do good and be in the podium, but I don't know. With RJ's speed, I have to put him up there. So just to switch it up, RJ's showing the speed, but I feel like Cooper would be up there. More of a realistic thing. Mm-hmm. But I'll go with I'm betting on Hampshire there in third. So others going 1-2 and Hampshire in third, which is probably going to bite me, and Cooper's probably going to be up there, but oh well.
Hey, never know, man. let's see. So 450s, I'm going to go. I'm going to mix it up, man. I know everybody wants me to say Dylan, or my better judgment would be to put Dylan Ferrandis up there, but I'm really, really rooting for Ken Roczen to pull this one. I think maybe he can do it. It's got to go back in his favor at some point, one of these races. So I'm going to go with Millville for that. So Ken Roczen in first. I'm going to put Dylan Ferrandis in second. And I'm gonna go for the reigning champ. So I want Eli Tomac for third is my prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same three guys, but in a different order.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, I'm like, it's so hard to make predictions anymore. it's so hard with Tomac too, but I'm gonna go with Tomac. I'm a little scared about the prediction. But
there you go.
Tomac coming back and actually putting two motos together. So let's see if that's Millville. But I'll go with him. It's hard to go away from Dylan being up there, so I'll put Dylan in the number two spot and Roczen. Rounding out the podium there. I guess we'll see how that is. I should actually keep score of our here.
Sure.
If how good and how accurate we actually are throughout the races.
Love it. I'm all for it.
We'll see. Awesome. Like I've been telling you, I definitely have to be making more podcasts. It seems like we get one. We're on a roll there for a bit where it was every week or every other week. But
sure.
Need to get more out there, and I feel like the last two or three has been a couple months in between them. So
I'm in. I mean, I enjoy getting my feet wet. I truly appreciate the opportunity you let me come on here with you, and I'm all for it, man. So you just send me a message and put out the word, and we'll come back together and we'll talk more moto.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, thanks for hopping on. I feel like you did a really good job for your first episode,
Ezra. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 22 of the Moto 247 show. If you head over to the Moto 247 YouTube, you'll find some of our podcast clips up on there. And sorry about the delay. It's taken some time to upload a couple of them. I definitely want to get some more clips from the Joey Crown interview along with John Gruy and Jacob Hayes. And I'm planning on having at least one or two from every episode up there on our YouTube. And if you go over and hit the subscribe button, I would definitely appreciate it. And once we hit 1,000 subscribers, one lucky subscriber will win a custom set of Prism Designs graphics. So go over, view some of our clips up on there, and hit that subscribe button, and see if you'll win that set of custom graphics. Anyways, thank you guys again, and peace out.